gonna shout until your answer knocks at the door. One, two, one, two, three.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
I don't believe. brought me this far.
You didn't pray.
Let's give our brothers a hand. Amen. I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I want to share a couple of observations with you, and then we'll get into the word. Let me thank Sister Alkeisha Brown Braxton, our youth director. Where's Alkeisha? And all who worked along with her this week for our vacation Bible school. Let's give them another hand. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry I could not be here. I was away at our National Baptist Congress of Christian Education, where we had an awesome time learning more about God and being trained in the things of God and the kingdom of God. And then let me back up, first of all, because this has been a busy month for us, which is why we don't have Bible study during the summer months. Just so much going on. I'm reflecting on receiving the Faith Leaders Excellence Award from the Concerned Citizens Coalition. That was a few weeks ago. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for all of the folk who they say voted. They said there was about 700 people who voted for those awards. And it made me think about last night when I was looking at the election results that only 677 folk voted in our election here in Leesville, and that is terrible. 677 people voted out of some 5,000 or 6,000 people. We've got to do better, amen. But we congratulate those who won, and we thank God for those who haven't given up on service and still wanted to try to serve, amen. And then on Friday night, I flew in on Thursday night, made it home about 1:30 in the morning on Friday morning. And then, of course, Friday evening, I was the guest speaker at the Vernon Ministerial Association Unity Banquet. And it was an awesome time. And I want to thank all of you, Pleasant Hill, who showed up. Thank you so much. How encouraging that was. And to have my mother there, 97 years old, what a blessing. Amen. And then we want to let you know that we're not done yet. On the 6th and 7th of July is our Calcasieu District Association and Congress meeting. And as y'all know, I am the president of the Calcasieu District Congress of Christian Education. And I will be giving my annual message on the 7th, July 7th at 1:30 p.m. Amen. So I want to encourage those of you who can come down and support us, our choir members, ushers, whoever can make it down for that. July 7th, that's Tuesday at 1:30 p.m., Congress President's Hour. I would love to see you there. And I would love to get our young folk, Minister Wilson, I don't know your availability, but if we could get some young folk down there on Monday and Tuesday. It's only 3 days. But if we could get some young people, Sister Braxton, and youth workers to come down on Monday and Tuesday. I started a youth attendance award last year, and New Willow won the award last year. Now, that looks bad when the Congress president who started the award and his young people, amen, don't show up like they can. So let me challenge you young people to come out. Amen. Youth workers, please work on that. Amen. God bless you. I've got a good pastor friend who listens to our services. He's probably watching right now. And he said that I say amen too much. And so when I'm standing up here, I'm trying to think about not saying amen. Amen? All right. But God is good. Give God a hand of praise in this place. If you will stand to your feet, Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and our minds that will help us, God, to be more like you. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, I'm going to ask you to read the entirety of that when you get home. Amen. Some of you will take the time to read it right now, and that's okay too. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, but I want to focus on verse 6. Verse 6 says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Amen. As you take your seats, I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from the subject, "Don't quit at the gate." Tell your neighbor, "Neighbor, don't quit at the gate." If we're honest this morning, all of us have had seasons when life left us sitting at a gate. A gate is a place between where you are and where you're trying to go. Somebody is sitting at the gate of healing. Somebody is sitting at the gate of provision. Somebody is sitting at the gate of restoration. Somebody is sitting at the gate of breakthrough. You can see others walking through while you're stuck outside. The man in our text had lived this reality every day. The Bible says he was lame from birth. Every morning, somebody carried him to the gate called Beautiful. Isn't that amazing that he was sitting at a beautiful gate while dealing with an ugly situation? Anybody ever been there? Surrounded by blessings but carrying burdens, near the house of God but still experiencing pain, close to your miracle but not yet experiencing it. But I came to tell somebody this morning, God specializes in meeting people at the gate. The place where you thought your story ended may become the place where God changes everything. Tell your neighbor, if you'll help me this morning, tell your neighbor, "Neighbor, don't quit at the gate." Why, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Don't quit at the gate because, number one, God can change your condition even when it has lasted a long time. Oh, somebody ought to give him praise right there. Amen. And Acts chapter 3, verse 2 says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried." Notice what the text says. He wasn't injured yesterday. He wasn't struggling for a few weeks. He had been this way his entire life. Everybody knew his condition. Everybody recognized his problem. Everybody expected him to stay where he was. When people saw him, y'all, they didn't see a man with potential. They saw a man with limitations. Can I preach to somebody this morning? The enemy wants you to believe that because you've dealt with something a long time, the enemy wants you to believe that God is not able to change it. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Some folk have been carrying grief for years. Some folk have been dealing with addiction for years. Some folk have been dealing with disappointment for years. Some families have been carrying family dysfunction for years. But I've come by to tell you this morning that the duration of your problem does not determine God's power to change it. Oh, somebody ought to give God a God bless you right there. God doesn't look at the length of time. He looks at opportunity to get glory. And let me pause here parenthetically and tell somebody that God is always going to get the glory that is due him. Now, every now and then we get proud and we get lifted up in ourselves and we get to thinking that somehow the glory belongs to me. But is there anybody in here who understands that all of the glory belongs to God? And if you get big enough and bad enough to think that you're going to steal his glory, I come by to tell you, God will move you out of the way. I'm so happy to report to you that God doesn't look. He doesn't get caught up in how long you've been dealing with it. Where my Bible readers, Israel was in Egypt for hundreds of years, but God brought them out. Anybody remember that woman with the issue of blood? The Bible says for 12 years. She had to deal with that issue, but the Bible says that she met Jesus and she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, and he healed her body. Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and after folk thought all hope was gone, Jesus stood in front of that tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. Where are my witnesses who know that matter of time does not matter to God? The same God who worked then is still working now. The man had become comfortable with just survival. Oh, my. Oh, my. There's some folk in this room. Amen. You're just comfortable. Amen. Experiencing the reality that you've somehow survived. But I come by to tell you this morning that God wants you to do more than just survive. You are his child, and God is expecting that you thrive, that you walk in victory, that you walk in victory. Where are my folk who've made up in their minds that in spite of what the devil throws my way, I'm determined to walk in victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Every day, somebody carried him. Every day, he was there begging. Every day, he settled for what he could get in his cup. But I remind you again that God didn't save you for you to merely survive. He saved you so that you could thrive. You're not called just to get by. My brothers and sisters, you're called to walk in purpose. Your being on this planet is not an accident. It's more than coincidence. God has a purpose for your life. I heard Dr. Miles Monroe say that anytime you don't know the purpose of a thing, you will abuse it. And that's why we've got child abuse and spousal abuse and drug abuse. It's because people don't know the purpose of a spouse, the purpose of that child, the purpose of that medicine. And when you don't know the purpose of a thing, you will abuse it. Somebody's prayer right now to be, God, God revealed to me my purpose. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, reveal to me my purpose. Somebody ought to shout, this is not where my story ends. Oh, my, I wish I could get somebody right in the midst of your confusion, right in the midst of that turmoil, right in the midst of your sickness. I dare you to open your mouth and declare, this is not where my story ends. I'm so glad, Deacon Smith, when you were going through your trauma, when, amen, you got down to like 99 pounds and folk were whispering, he ain't gonna make it, is he? I'm so glad that you made your way to the house of God on Sundays, and when other folk were sitting there quiet, you said, I have a yet praise. And today we look at you because you understood that where you were is not where your story was supposed to end. Tell somebody, don't quit at the gate. Don't quit at the gate. Because God can change your situation even though it's lasted a long time. But not only that, don't quit at the gate because God often sends you what you need instead of what you ask for. I don't know about y'all, but there have been times I've gotten a little angry with God because I was praying for one thing, and he wouldn't send me what I was asking for. He wouldn't send me, amen, what I was desiring, but he sent me what I needed. And is there anybody other than Pastor Garner in here who can look back over your life and praise him that he did not send you what you wanted, but that he sent you what you needed? Give him a praise right through there. Chapter 3, Acts chapter 3 and verse 3 said that he asked for money. He asked for alms. That's all he expected. He had a small request because he had a small expectation. His prayer was, help me make it through the day. That's all I'm worried about. Amen. Hey, just fill my cup enough so that I can eat today, so that I can have somewhere to sleep today. Help me make it through the day. But God's plan was, I'm about to change your life forever. You're talking about today. God is saying, I'm getting ready to make a move in your life that's going to not only take care of your today, but all of your tomorrows. The man wanted a handout. God was saying, I got a healing. The man wanted a coin, but God said, I'm going to give you a conversion. The man wanted temporary relief, but God said, I've got permanent rescue. How many times have we done the same thing? We ask God for comfort when God wants to give us victory. We ask God to ease the pressure when God intends to elevate us through the pressure. We ask God to fix the symptom, and God starts dealing with the root of the problem. Aren't you glad, my brothers and sisters, that God doesn't answer every prayer exactly the way we pray it? Because sometimes we don't know what we need. Amen. Am I by myself? Sometimes we don't know what we really need. If Joseph had gotten what he wanted, he would have stayed home with his father. But God used the pit. God, amen, used slavery. God used prison to take him to a palace. If David had gotten what he wanted, he might have avoided Goliath. But the giant was the doorway to his destiny. If Jesus had avoided the cross, I said, if Jesus had avoided it, y'all don't know where your help came from. Y'all, somebody in here don't realize, amen, that you're not here because you've been so good. You're not here because you look all that good. If Jesus had avoided the cross, we wouldn't have resurrection. Thank God that he doesn't always give us what we want. He gives us what we need. Church, hear me today. Sometimes God's no is preparing a greater yes. Peter said, man, silver and gold have I none. Can you imagine the disappointment? The man probably thought, well, that's all I really came for. But Peter kept talking. He said, but such as I have, give I thee. Aren't you grateful that God can give what money cannot buy? Oh, somebody missed it. Let me back up, rewind, and ask the question again. Is there anybody here grateful that God can give what money cannot buy? Somebody missed it. Let me help you. Money can buy a bed, but money can't buy you sleep. Amen. Money can buy a house, but money can't buy peace. Money can buy medicine, but is there anybody who understands that money can't buy healing? Money can buy applause, but money cannot give you purpose. But when Jesus steps in, I said, when Jesus steps in, everything changes. Tell somebody God's got something better than what I asked for. I'm expecting greater. Don't quit at the gate, because God can change your situation even though it's lasted a long time. Don't quit at the gate, because God often sends what you need
instead of what you want. But then finally, don't quit at the gate, because when Jesus touches your life, you cannot stay the same. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8, chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, verse 8. Verse 8, it says, and he, leaping up, stood and walked. Here's where the church ought to get happy. The Bible says Peter took him by the hand. And when I picture that, I see a picture of faith, Peter's faith, meeting obedience. Amen. Because the man could have said, I ain't touching your hand. The man could have withheld his hand, but faith meets obedience. Power meets possibility. He didn't just feel better. Tell your neighbor, he got up. The Bible says immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The same man who had been carried into the gate walked out under his own power. The same man who sat down for years, finally stood up. The same man who had depended on everybody else was now walking by himself. Can I tell you what happens when God moves? People who knew the old you become shocked by the new you. I wonder if I have a witness this morning. Amen. Anybody ever experienced that when God makes a real change in your life? Amen. The folk who knew you when? Y'all got any folk like that who knew you when? Oh, man, you in church now? You in the choir now? You a deacon now? Amen. The folk who knew, is there anybody glad to know that God can make such a change in your life? That the folk who used to know you will have to look at you and testify, oh, there's a change. There's been a change in his life. There's been a change in her life. Oh, my, the neighbors were amazed. The worshipers were amazed. Everybody was amazed. Why? Because nobody expected that kind of change. And that's what God specializes in. He specializes in making impossible situations possible. He specializes in turning tests into testimonies. I said he specializes in turning messes into messages. He specializes in turning setbacks into setups. He specializes in turning servants into leaders. He specializes in turning fishermen into apostles. He specializes in turning sinners into saints. He specializes in turning crucifixions into resurrections. The text says he entered the temple walking, leaping, and praising God. Walking, leaping, and praising God. After all that I've been through, I still have joy. After all that I've been through, I've got to testify that if it had not been for the goodness of God, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I could sit there and be quiet like some of you. But when I look back over my life and think things over, I realize I didn't make it by myself. God was with me. Give him praise in this place. The text says he entered the temple walking, leaping, and praising God. I love that, y'all. He didn't enter quietly. He had too much history to stay silent. He had too much testimony to remain dignified. He had too much victory to stay in his seat. For years, he had watched other folk worship. Now he had his own reason to give God some praise. And maybe that's why some people don't understand your praise. Maybe that's why some folks